Ellen Rohr, the plumber's wife turned business makeover expert. And welcome back to Business Makeover 2014. This is your opportunity. This is our opportunity to make this year our best year yet. You know how it goes, 21 days to get a new habit? That's what we're after. So 21 experts in 21 days and lots more. I've got too much to cram into 21 days. So keep in touch as we progress. Check your inbox every day. You're going to be seeing lots of cool things coming your way. Thanks for joining me today. This is our time to shine, to make over our businesses, to create businesses that really serve our lives, to reinvent ourselves. It's a makeover year, and this interview today, I am super excited about it. How do I get publicity? And we're going straight to the source, to one of the smartest chicks I know, Miss Anita Campbell. Hi, Anita. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, I am absolutely delighted to be with you, Ellen.
Well, if you search small business expert, you're going to find Anita Campbell at the top of the list. She's always right there. It is evidence to how smart she is when it comes to using technology, social media, understanding how marketing is changing, and delivering real, relevant, spot-on business content. I want to brag on you a little bit. You've been an entrepreneur your whole life. You're a lawyer by training. Wow. And she's got a lot of different varied interests, which is also something I find common to a lot of entrepreneurs. She's the CEO of Small Business Trends LLC. It's a media and information company. And in that role, she closely follows trends in the small business market and trends in technology. Ergo, you're smart to follow her and pay attention to what she's paying attention to. And her expertise has been noted and her opinion quoted in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and all over the place. So welcome to the call today, Anita. And let's talk about business today. Let's talk about your business. Once upon a time, Michael Gerber says that when you have that moment where you think, I could start my own business, he calls that an entrepreneurial seizure. Did you ever have one of those?
Well, you know, had been dreaming of running my own business for a long time, and I spent a period of time in the corporate world. I was an in-house attorney, at first at a bank for a long time, and then in a technology company. Bell & Howell is where I spent quite a bit of time. But I grew up with an aunt who had run her own business. In fact, she had several businesses that she ran, and I always had this idea of, you know, wanting to be in charge of my own destiny and running my own business. And so that's why I say, you know, I've been an entrepreneur at heart for my entire life because it was always in the back of my mind. And
let me just underline something. I think it's so cool that your aunt inspired you. And one of the themes that I see, you know, weaving through a lot of the interviews that I've done is this idea that there was a family member or a mentor or someone who inspired them. And when you are entrepreneurial, I don't think you realize the impact you might be having on the next wave of entrepreneurs. That's pretty cool that your aunt was an influence as you made the decision to become an entrepreneur.
And she was a real trailblazer for her generation. I mean, you know, imagine somebody in the 1940s, 1950s, you know, starting a series of businesses and so on.
Wow.
You know, I think that's really amazing. So, you know, I just always had this idea that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and finally had the opportunity to do that. And 11 years now ago, 11 years last month, actually.
Well, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I started this online site, a blog, actually, over at blogger.com using the free blog software there.
Okay.
And I had a really simple idea. At the time, I'd left the corporate world. I was just dabbling a little bit, doing some consulting, helping my entrepreneur friends do their business plans and so on. And I thought one day, well, you know, I'm actually operating as a consultant, so maybe I ought to set up a consulting website, which I did. And then I said, I'm going to start an email newsletter. But I ran into an issue because I wanted to provide some thought leadership articles, but I didn't have a way to easily publish those online. And that's how I got started with the blog in 2003.
And did you just search, like, how do you do a blog?
Well,
like,
no,
how did you
actually
find
a
blogger?
Yeah, a friend of mine suggested it. I was bewailing how, you know, difficult it was to set up these articles using Dreamweaver software. I don't know if you've ever used
Dreamweaver. Oh, I did. Software. We don't anymore, thank goodness. I just had, like, my heart stop when you
And, you know, it is very tricky. It's very tricky. And, you know, you hit the wrong backspace key one too many times, and poof, everything, you know, is completely out of alignment. And so it was taking me forever to do this. And my friend said, hey, you know, there are a lot of people out there doing these blogs. Have you ever tried one? It's really easy. It's like publishing a document using Word, Microsoft Word,
uh-huh.
except that instead of, you know, saving the document or printing it, you're actually just hitting a button that says publish. And I thought, well, this couldn't be, you know, couldn't possibly be that easy. But when I tried it, it actually was sort of easy like that.
It's really just blowing my mind, though, that this was not that long ago. What, 10, 11, did you say 11 years ago is your anniversary here? For
yes.
I mean, it's
exactly.
So funny to hear you talk like that when now it's just become so commonplace. Everybody knows what a blog is. But you were one of the early adopters.
And early in the sense of business blogging, you see, because the first couple of years people were blogging, they were using them as personal journals. And there were a lot of political blogs as well. But using them for business purposes, that was highly unusual. And believe it or not, at the time when I started, I mean, there probably weren't more than 100 business bloggers in the English language who identified themselves as blogging specifically on business topics. We all knew one another. We all networked with one another. Well, of course, you couldn't do that today because there are millions of businesses that have blogs. But at the time, it was a very tiny, close-knit community.
Do you think that it's that the opportunity has come and gone, or is there a way to find your voice as a niche blogger?
I think there are always opportunities out there, and I think you hit the nail right on the head, Ellen. You have to think about niche, because, you know, if you're trying to do very general, broad topics today, I think it's very hard to do that unless you're well bankrolled. You're going to need millions to start a sort of a general topic type of site and get anywhere with it. But if you're an entrepreneur on a limited budget, find a niche that's not covered well today and focus on that niche. Understand your market, understand who your audience is, who is it that you're trying to talk to, and be very, very specific. And when I say be specific, I mean, you know, talk about, identify what are their interests, you know, what does this typical audience member look like? You know, is it male or female? What's the general age range? What are they interested in? You know, what motivates this person? You know, what's their technological level of expertise? Are they into social media beyond blogs, such as Twitter and Facebook, or are they mostly about reading articles? You really have to understand that very well. And if you understand your target audience, your ideal audience member, and you've done a really good job of identifying them and targeting toward them, you're going to have a much better chance today to come out of nowhere and develop a really solid site.
Well, we're going to go, I call this going down a bunny trail. It's fun that we've got, you know, a little bit of time together instead of 2 minutes, you know, so it's fun to explore a couple of topics. Our overarching topic is about publicity, and publicity is generally considered attention that's garnered for free. How would you define publicity? And then we're going to go into some more specifics about how you did it, how others can do it, et cetera. But let's get to the topic of it. How would you define publicity?
I define publicity as anything that helps publicize or spread the word about your business or your personal brand if you're a solo entrepreneur. So it's really about, you know, spreading the word about what your business is or what and who you are as a personal professional brand. And so you have to think of it broadly, because today it's not about any one technique being the answer. You really have to have a multifaceted program for publicity. So even if you started a blog, for example, that can't be the only thing that you do.
Okay.
That has to be just one element of what you do.
And you really seem to get publicity that gets publicity. In other words, it seems to me you are a master at getting picked up. So when you write something, somebody else is going to go, wow, look at this, and it's going to end up in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. So you don't just put it out there and hope. You put it out there and it gets going. This is where it really takes off. So as we talk about this, let's address this. I want to underline this niche thing again. When you were saying, you know, if you could find out who your customers were, it made me think of a client of mine who's a chimney sweep. You know, if you were to search chimney sweeps, there is not a brand, an identifiable, iconic character that owns that space online yet. And I think that's true for most of, you know, I work with a lot of plumbing, heating, cooling, electrical, home service contractors. Those are my people. I'm a plumber's wife, you know. There are a lot of people listening to this call who are in all walks of life, but I'm always sensitive to that community, and it is dazzling me as to the opportunity there is for someone to be the electrician or to be the drain cleaning guy, to have that voice out there. What do you think?
And I think that I absolutely think that is the case, and you really have to identify, you know, what is it that you do? So you mentioned drain cleaning. You know, there is general plumbing. You know, here I am talking to the plumber's wife and telling
That's right.
you this, but you know this.
That's right. Let's hear what you got. But you're right. There's general plumbing, and drain cleaning is not general plumbing. So you get an A+ for that.
Yeah, so well, thank you. And, you know, you really have to understand, you know, what really am I offering? Am I going to be a generalist, or am I going to specialize in, you know, one type of service that's very, very specific? And you may find that you can actually systematize and be very profitable by providing just one type of service, such as drain cleaning, and that's all you do. And you don't try to be the general plumber who's fixing leaks and replacing faucets and, you know, all of those good things.
I hope you know this, and if you didn't, you're going to be delighted to know that I am just starting up a drain cleaning and sewer franchise company. We're kicking it off in February, so how about that?
Oh,
and
wow.
All we do is
hey.
Drain cleaning, so we're going to be the specialists. And I am listening, you know, with different aspects of my personality, one of which is thinking, yeah, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to go out there and lay claim to one of these niches. And the sewer and drain one, watch out, baby, we're coming after that one. You know, another thing that...
Good for you.
As we talk about publicity, what just struck me is that a lot of people are scared of publicity because they think in terms of the sting or negative publicity. Like, you know, Matt Lauer not long ago on the Today Show did a sting operation. In fact, the president of ACA, the Air Conditioning Contractors of America, was in on it, and they set up service people in these goofy situations and then busted them for trying to sell customers something that wasn't needed and wanted. And the way it was edited, it was upsetting to me. But what happens is that when you see something like that, you're thinking, I'm not going to pursue publicity. I'm going to stay under the radar. What do you think of that? How do you overcome that? And what could you do in spite of that? In spite of the fact that, yeah, that is a possibility.
Well, it's always possible to get negative PR, but, you know, you go back to the way you run your business, first of all. You know, if you're being upfront with your customers, if you're being, you know, truthful in your advertising and the claims that you're making, if you're paying attention to customer service, you're going to be doing a good job. And That's positive PR. That's what spreads. I mean, most small businesses get the vast majority of their business through referrals if they've been around for a while.
Uh-huh.
And we've done surveys on small business trends that, you know, that show that. I mean, the numbers in the surveys we've done, in one of them, it was over 85% saying they get the majority of their business from referrals from satisfied customers or friends of customers, that sort of thing. And so think about that as publicity. That's positive publicity. Yes, you could get negative publicity, but you know, you want to think in terms of, hey, what are the positive things that can be discussed about our business, and how do we spread the word about that, or how do we help spread the word about the positive things happening in our business? And today, there are so many tools. It's wonderful. I mean, we talked about blogs, but think uh-huh. about social media, just online. You've got sites like Twitter and Facebook, and these can be very powerful for small businesses. Even YouTube, and having a YouTube channel with subscribers can be very positive for a business that lends itself to a lot of visuals, a lot of visual videos.
Like, you know, look what I found in the drain today. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and actually, in it would. I mean, it would.
Would
you know,
be.
I mean,
yeah,
but,
just,
you know, and just explaining to people, though, you know, and not only that, but just explaining to the public, you know, things they have to watch out for, and you know, how to prevent this from happening with your drain or that, and you know, how to choose a good drain cleaning company. And I mean, you know, there are all sorts of things, just endless numbers of things you can do. And if you're in a business that lends itself to showing people, to demonstrating things, if you have some visuals, it's great, because a lot of, you know, technology businesses and even consulting businesses, you know, they're more about ideas and concepts, and it's sometimes hard to come up with visuals to show
mm-hmm.
in videos. So I think some businesses, especially, you know, consumer services, often have a real leg up when it comes to doing video, and video can be really powerful. You know, it's not just about getting subscribers on your video channel, but you know, video results tend to show up in Google, and they tend to show up
right.
frequently, and they tend to show up high on the first page. So if you have good videos and you can get some views on that, you have one more chance to get shown on a Google search result, and you have to think of it that way. A video gives you another chance to have your business appear on a Google search page.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want, as many chances as possible to appear.
Well, I'm going to jump back and forth, because I would love these tactical tips that you're giving, that, okay, you write them down, get them going. That's absolutely going to help you, you know, change your way of thinking and your behavior to get different results. That's what we're all about with this business makeover. But let me turn them back to you and your own business, because I think it's such an interesting I think your story is so interesting. So you started with blogging. Did your business evolve according to plan? Are you a planner, or was it organic, or was there a mixture of both? Like, how did your business take off? You started blogging,
well,
and then what happened
mm-hmm.
next?
So what happened next is that the blog ate the business, okay? And
okay.
literally, that's what happened. As it turns out, the blog became much more popular than the email newsletter.
Okay.
And inside of 6 months, we had many more readers coming to the site to read, as opposed to subscribing to the email newsletters to read. And from there, what happened is that my business actually evolved so that the majority of what we do today is online, and it's more in the nature of a magazine type of site.
Uh-huh.
Where we sometimes do special events. We might have Twitter chats where we convey tips and advice, or we might do Google Hangouts or summits like this one that we're on with you, Helen.
Yay!
But as far as doing individual consulting, I actually don't do that anymore, and that was what I initially set out to do. I was using the blog just literally to promote the consulting services and to develop some loyalty among people and help spread referrals. And it turned out that it became more popular, that the publication became more popular, And so we evolved our business. And that often happens with small businesses, no matter what business you're in. You start out doing one thing, but you see how customers are receiving it. You see how your audience, your target market is receiving it, and they signal to you which direction you should go in.
So
they tell you.
There was a moment then that you reflect on, okay, this isn't working. Some people find that moment to be devastating. Like, I want to be a consultant, or they feel this grief or sorrow, or maybe it's just a fear of change. But that moment where you were being led to a different direction in your business, it seems like you embraced it.
I did, and, you know, I didn't view it as, like, anything negative about, you know, well, this isn't working out, now, oh, gee, I got to go do this. I saw it as, wow, here's an opportunity. I better jump on this opportunity. And, you know, I'm a big believer in being a glass-half-full person, but not in a naive way. You know, just having a positive attitude is not going to make you successful in business. When it comes down to it, you got to make money, right? And you need more than a positive attitude. But one thing I have learned is that if you don't manage your sense of optimism, your attitude, and try to be positive, you beat yourself before you start. You've defeated yourself. So while you need a lot more than positive thinking to be successful, I know that most of us are not going to be successful unless we start with a positive attitude and at least try to keep that positive attitude up and try to spot things like opportunities.
When you made this move into the blog and really became an online resource at smallbiztrends.com, did you ever have a moment over the last 10 years where you felt stale, like you thought, I've got to reboot this, I'm not interested, you know, I want to make a change? Or has it continued to engage you the entire time?
Most of the time, I would say it's continued to engage me. I've gone through a couple of periods where, you know, I just needed to get my mojo back a little bit. I went through a period where it was hard to write for me personally, Luckily, I have many other writers on the site, so it wasn't that I needed to write, you know, a lot personally. Right now, I'm on a roll. I'm writing lots and lots and lots. But, you know, there have been actually more than one occasion where I just sort of went through a dry spell. It's like I got in front of my computer keyboard, and anyone who's ever done any writing or, you know, had a blog or anything is going to encounter this, where just one day you sit there, you look at a blank screen, and you just don't know what to write about. And nothing seems interesting, and you don't know where to start. And then you can quickly get discouraged.
Uh-huh.
And some people, that's why there are so many abandoned blogs out there. Some people start blogging and they never come back. But on the other hand, if you can stick with it, and especially if you can share the load, if you have more than one writer on a site, that way if one person goes through a dry patch, it doesn't mean the end for the company blog. If you have a couple of employees or maybe even an outside writer assisting you, then you know, the fact that you personally can't write isn't the end of things.
I think that really is a metaphor for, you know, you're using writing, but it could be for just walking into the office again, like, I really don't want to do this. I don't want to hump it together one more day. I don't want to get the guys lined up to go out the door. You know, there are these moments where we get stale. What ended the dry spell for you, or was it just a matter of plodding through long enough till the sun started shining?
I worked on other things, and
okay.
You know, I just tried. If I couldn't write, I did something else in my business. And you know, I've also been big on kind of measuring things, and I find that I can sort of pump myself up a little bit if I measure something and I see a little bit of improvement in something. It sort of gives me like a little shot in the arm, and I think, oh, well, here's something that's going really, really well. You know, look, we've improved 10% on this thing, whatever it is. And then that'll get me going, and then before I know it, I'm able to get back into things. I would say, you know, just keep trying to push yourself a little bit to do something else and stay involved in it and try to see the positives, and then you just work your way out of it.
Now, are you a family business? Do you have family members in your business?
Well, my husband is now our chief financial officer, and but it's part time for him.
Are you speaking to each other? Is that working out for you?
Yeah.
I always tip family business owners, especially when they're husband wife teams, because I don't work with my husband the plumber anymore. I'm still married, and I believe that that's why. But it can be really stressful, and so I'm sensitive to some of those issues. But how do you guys make it work?
Well, I think because it's not a full-time thing for him, and you know, he has other business interests, and you know, and others that he deals with. So, you know, I think it works, you know, reasonably well. But you know, I have two nieces who work for me, and you know, and that works well. And then I have other people who are unrelated who work with this as well. So.
Well, I talked to Jeff Gittimer in another one of our interviews, and he said, well, you have to be nice to people, even your kids. That was his tip, and I thought that was lovely. Like, sometimes we're just mean to the people we're related to. So it sounds like you're a really nice person, and that probably helps. So you have your finger on the pulse of what's happening in business, because people who are cutting edge would love to be involved in your website. You're going to get people are going to reach out to you to present information. What is exciting you right now about business and small business trends? Why don't you share a couple that you think are particularly compelling and might be interesting to folks who want to make 2014 their big breakout year?
So a lot of it has to do with technology moving to the cloud. So you hear that, you know, and you probably sit there and wonder, what are people talking about with the cloud? And really, that just means that you're able to use software by using a browser and going online and accessing it. You don't actually get it in a CD in a box like you used to and load it on your computer, but you pay a monthly fee, or maybe it's free, but you sign up for an account and you're able to access whatever the software is online. Well, what that does, you know, it's more than just not having to mess with installing software on your computer. You know, the real advantages to that are often that data then that you use in one program can integrate with or connect with another program, and so you have to do less duplicate data entry. You
mm-hmm.
have to do less messing around with, oh, I got to get data from here, and I got to put it in a spreadsheet, and then I got it uploaded over here. A lot of these software programs online now are talking with one another, and so they move your data automatically, or they let you manipulate and work with your business data online without you having to do much of anything. And that is very efficient for your business. And not only is it efficient, but what it does is it gives you insights, the ability to use your data to run your business with reports and to understand what's going on at a much deeper level than you may have been able to in the past. That makes us as business owners, you know, just able to run our businesses better. And so that excites me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of that happening, and we're going to see a lot more of that happening.
Well, and I heard someone say that, like, the day of the desktop computer is pretty limited, because really all we're going to need is a tablet. And think how liberating that is, right? Would you agree that that's the direction we're going?
Yes, and tablets and smartphones. So
mm-hmm.
that is also very powerful for those who have field service techs or salespeople who are going out to meet with clients out in the field, even for business owners who don't want to be tied down to their office all the time. You can be in connection with your employees, with your customers, suppliers, the world, by having a small device that you can carry with you very easily. And on top of that, you are also able to just communicate a lot better among people on your team. Everybody then has access to data, and you don't have to go through, say, one gatekeeper, and it makes it hard for you to do your job because you don't know, you know, the information out there. Now people, employees down to, you know, the simplest level of employee is able to actually get access to information and able to do things independently. That empowers us as business people.
Isn't this exciting? I mean, what wonderful times when like 10 years or 11 years ago you were going, so blogger, really? And here you are. What's another trend that has your attention or you're excited about?
Well, I think, you know, the whole trend toward, you know, just having more of an online presence, I think, is a very powerful thing. So what we're seeing today is that, you know, more and more people, even if they're looking for a local provider, you know, local service, let's say a drain cleaner or a pizza parlor or whatever, they're actually going online. And maybe they're not actually going to a desktop computer, but maybe they're going to their smartphone and using a Maps program or their tablet. But, you know, even those maps and their smartphone search are really all one thing now with Internet search.
Right.
What this all means, yet, so to net it all out, what it means is, a customer locally, where they might have picked up the Yellow Pages before, they might have asked someone they knew, they might have gotten a flyer that you've stuck in their door, you know, under the flag of the mailbox or whatever. Now they're actually going to a search engine or to a map or maybe even to Facebook or a place like that, and they're looking for a provider there. So what that means is, you now have access to a broader potential customer base just by being online if you can figure out how to master that a little bit. And that's where we get into, you know, the online publicity. If you learn how to do more about online publicity, you're going to be able to reach out to a broader potential customer base, and you can keep your costs low because it tends to be a lot cheaper than some other methods. You don't have to, say, you know, spend thousands of dollars printing up direct mailers. Yeah, maybe you still want to do that and send out postcards, but you don't have to rely exclusively on that. You can do mailers and have an online presence that costs a lot less.
Well, let's go, you know, deeper into some particular online tactics that you can do to generate good publicity, maybe even combat a little bad publicity. If you were a betting man, which social media outlets would you bet on? What do you think is going, you know, because MySpace, I wouldn't bet on MySpace at this point. Which are the ones that you think have some legs and some heft and some promise for the future?
Well, you know, the big, I'd say the big three, or maybe I'll include the big four, are Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and then for the fourth tends to be YouTube. Those aren't the only ones, and they don't apply equally across the board. It depends on your business. If you serve consumers, you're much more likely to get good results from Facebook. Facebook's going to be very good. You may get good results from YouTube. If you're in, say, a fashion business or something like that, or maybe you're just an e-commerce or retail seller,